Let's do some stuff.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back, Washington Capitals fans. It is What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. We are ready for the new season. We're ready for the Capitals to make their way onto the ice in the Metropolitan Division. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I am doing good.
Welcome back.
Even
though we did this 2 weeks ago.
Was it just 2 weeks ago? I guess it was.
You know, it feels like a lot longer, but I think it was like 2 weeks ago. I know we're getting off topic immediately, but that's kind of our thing. I just saw on Twitter the South Carolina Stingrays, the ECHL affiliate of the Washington Capitals, they will be playing on a Friday, October 9th. I don't know where they're from, but they're called the Swamp Rabbits.
The Swamp Rabbits. That's a new one.
Awesome. The dumbest name ever.
The Swamp Rabbits.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry. Okay, back on track. I just saw that, and if I didn't bring it up now, I was going to forget.
All right. The Swamp Rabbits. All right. If you're new to the show,
that needs to come up in every episode, just like Thomas DePaulin.
They're going to be like Lehigh Valley. That's what they're going to be like.
No. Oh, they're going to play them all the time. I think they're in Carolina. I'm going to look it up right now.
So if you are new to the show, thank you for joining What the Puck. We are a weekly Washington Capitals podcast. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, we are available. That's how good we are. New season ahead right here. The Capitals are ready to go. The regular season is upon us. The preseason is behind us. Coach Dan, first off, let's talk about that opening day roster. Some surprising names on there. Some I think you're upset about. Derek Roy not a part of the opening day roster. What's your thoughts? Who are you surprised to see? Who are you happy to see back? Who are you sad to see go?
I'm happy to see back the players that I wanted to have back. No, I think they have a very solid roster. I was a little surprised that Roy didn't get a contract. I thought that it made sense to have that veteran guy around, especially with Backstrom being out for, they're saying, 4 to 5 games at least. It seems like no more than 10. They're thinking probably 4 to 5. So I was very surprised that they didn't give him a contract, but it certainly seemed like they were looking at him as the fourth line center or winger or 13th forward on the roster, and they didn't feel like it was necessary to keep him around just for that particular role. They felt like they could save the cap space, have another young guy potentially take that spot, and be able to get by without having him on the team. So he's gone. They let him go. They cut him. Hopefully he finds his way onto another NHL roster relatively shortly.
Yeah, I heard even guys like Glenn Cross. He's not playing in the NHL this season so far.
Didn't he get a contract with somebody? I think he was trying out with Toronto. They cut him from camp. And then I thought he could be – oh, no, you know what? You're right. He was released, I think. He went to Colorado, I thought.
That poor guy.
Yeah, it looks like he's sort of weighing his options right now.
Yeah.
I think the other one was Colorado. I mean, my guess is Glenn Cross – yeah, I'm sorry, he's going to train camp. He could certainly end up somewhere else. You never know. Same thing with Derek Roy. I mean, a lot of these guys have the opportunities to potentially go over and play in Europe, whether it is going to be – in the what seems to be even more dysfunctional KHL, or if they want to play in Switzerland or Sweden or Finland or something like that, there's definitely opportunities. But going back to the Capitals, I mean, they're going to have an interesting roster. The first, you know, 4 or 5 games, you're going to see the team sort of gel. You're going to have some real games with DJ Oshie and Justin Williams joining the team. They have a couple surprises on the roster now in Sean Collins and Stanislav Galiev, though. Even though they've made the opening night roster and only one of them will likely get a sweater, it certainly seems like, well, it certainly has to be. One of those guys is going to be sent down once Backstrom comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is kind of like the Liam O'Brien thing, where they're up here. I mean, Liam O'Brien, he kind of fell into the situation last year. He did really well at training camp, and he stayed on the team, I think, through he was at least through November, because I remember him growing that mustache. So I think he was around until about Christmas time. But I was a little surprised with Galiev, which we figured out how to say his name. Galiev.
Yeah.
There we
I
go.
I feel like we heard it so many different ways that we were just kind of like, screw it! Let's call him Stanislav.
Right, but it's good to have him on the team. I was a little surprised, though, due to the fact that this past weekend, Trotz came out and said that he wasn't impressed with Galiev, that he was like, look, he should have been...
I saw that, too.
He should have been, you know, doing way more than he has in this camp. He's not ready for this NHL level, but here he is. He's on the opening day roster.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, well, there's a lot of talk about how he's not going to be an NHL player from people who are like, look at the stats. They're not in line with guys that eventually make their way into the NHL. And I was like, well, I'm sure he'll have a nice hockey career in the AHL, probably playing for Hershey for a couple of years, and then he might find his way on to another team somewhere. But he made the opening night roster. I think, you know, I'm wondering if that is partially because he does not have to clear waivers. So were they to send him down once Backstrom's back, they're not potentially going to. Then again, they had to send the guys on waivers anyway, so I don't know if that really matters. I take that all back.
You know,
so I was a bit surprised. We'll see what happens on Saturday as to whether he gets a jersey or not. I think the roster, the way it looks like it's going to be in the lineup, certainly paints an interesting picture as to what this team is going to look like and how much money they're spending on certain players.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a very interesting team. I mean, I don't know if you've checked it out or not, but like ESPN and a bunch of, you know, Puck Daddy and a bunch of other sports blogs out there, they're picking the Capitals to win the Metropolitan Division. There are very high hopes for this team.
Four guys in the NHL.com, four of their writers have the Caps winning the Metro.
Winning the Metro, some of them even
still
going.
So dumb, yeah, the Metro.
I know.
It's so dumb.
Well, the Metro sucks so bad in DC as well. You know, I don't know why you'd want to call
that's
it that.
True. My sister could definitely agree with you on that one. She texts me every day. This is what happened on the Metro today. I hate it.
I think there's a Twitter account out there called Unsuck DC Metro.
I follow it.
Do you?
Actually, I follow it thanks to her. She told me about it. It's actually pretty damn fun. It's amazing. You get up in the morning, you check Twitter to see about news and stuff, and. There's always retweets of people being like, this is where the Metro sucks now. It's amazing.
Yeah, the horn guy is notorious for retweeting that account.
Oh, yeah. He's on there, too. I'm sure he's not happy about it.
Yeah. So back to this team, at least for the forwards, it is a little surprising seeing some of these names here. You know, I'm not surprised, but Chris Brown made this team.
He's on IR, though.
He is on IR. I expected him to at least be called up if somebody else was hurt or whatever, but given that he's hurt, so if he's not going to be on the opening day roster, but I'm not surprised to see his name up with the Capitals and not like with the Bears or anything. Galiev, Collins, a little surprising to see that they're the ones that made it, because I really know almost nothing about Sean Collins, really.
I know they used to have a defenseman.
Yeah, right.
Between the Caps, and I was like, they brought him back, and he's a forward now?
Yeah, the guy
totally
is versatile.
Collins.
And here we go. We got the defenseman. Really nothing changed here except for Taylor Chorney. He's the only one that is kind of new here, wearing number four. Poor John Erskine. Is number four is not even dead yet. I mean, God, just
crap. He's born the same year as the other Sean. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but he's actually born the same year.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Weird.
This is going to be a very different looking team, but also it's going to look very. I don't know how to describe it. There's a lot of familiar faces on this team, but there are a lot of new guys that we're going to have to get used to. This is a very different team to me because I feel as if now with the additions of Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, with the added pressure on Tom Wilson, you know, we are actually going to potentially get three lines that are going to be out there not to grind and not to play defense or be defensive offensemen. We're going to have a lot of guys that know how to score on this team. And that's something new to the Capitals because it's always been Ovechkin, Backstrom, or nobody else scoring. This one, I think there's a lot of options now on where that puck could go to and how to get to the back of the net.
All right, real quick, clerical error, wrong Sean Collins.
wrong Sean
Collins? The Collins that I was talking about is not born the same year as the other one. There's been like three different players at one point in an NHL roster or an organization with the name of Sean Collins. So stop having the same name, everybody.
Are any of them in relation to Phil? Phil Collins.
All right, moving on. Boo! Okay, back to your original point. Yeah, I mean, they definitely have an opportunity to score. Bring in a guy like TJ Oshie, he's going to put the puck in the back, and he's got some great moves. He's getting more comfortable after every game because Netsov can put the puck in the back of the net, so can, well, you'd like to think Johansson can, but we shall see. Yeah. Andre Burakovsky can do it. Justin Williams, I have to imagine, is going to be putting – if you put on a line with Burakovsky and Johansson, Williams, all you got to do is get near the net, and you're going to score some goals. You got to think the third line might be able to put a couple in every once in a while with Chimera, Beagle, and Wilson. Beagle had a nice one in the preseason game the other day. And then the fourth line, whatever it may be, between Like, Lotta, Collins, and Galliev, if they can chip in one every once in a while, it's a pretty solid roster you got going there. You definitely have every line, at least the first two are going to be very good, and then hopefully the third and fourth have opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net as well and keep things rolling.
You know, everybody...
Not relying on just, like you said, two guys.
Right. Now, everybody's talking about this, and let me know what you think. So, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Oshie, that's your top line right there. Oshie brought up the fact that this is kind of a new feeling for him and a new life of hockey, I guess, because before he was always the type of guy who was getting covered constantly and, you know, would be able to get to the puck to the back of the net, but, you know, had to go through a couple defensemen to do that. Now that he's on a line with Ovechkin, Ovechkin's normally double teamed. So now Oshie, there's potential of him being like wide open and can kind of do his crazy, you know, goals that he can always get on the shootout, maybe potentially during the actual game, because people are going to be double teaming Ovechkin. You got Oshie on the other side, who's a goal scorer, a good goal scorer. This could open up a brand new side of Oshie's game that the whole NHL has never seen before.
I certainly think that's possible. Like you said, teams with a double team Ovechkin, you have two options. Either you double team him and you leave Kuznetsov or Oshie with ton of ice to use, or you don't double team him and you hope and pray that your defenseman that's covering him is going to be able to stop him. So one way or another, that first line is going to have plenty of opportunities to score. Yeah, there'll be some nights where they struggle a little bit. That happens when you play 82 games in the season, that you're not going to score every single night. But these guys have a ton of talent on the roster, a ton of offensive talent. The second line is also going to have a ton of opportunities. And when Backstrom comes back, you're going to have even better third line or fourth line, depending on what they do with Johansson or Burakovsky in terms of being able to put the puck, as I've said many times now, in the back of the net. You're going to have plenty of opportunities to score. So it's going to be interesting to see how much room a guy like Oshie is going to have and what he's going to be able to do with it if teams are forced to try and double-team Ovechkin. And this is the thing that team has been looking for a while now, in being able to free up Ovechkin to play potentially just one-on-ones or even give him some open ice, and that teams are going to be forced to play him a one-on-one, or you're going to give so many great opportunities to other goal scorers to be able to shoot.
This offensive team has got to be, you know, one of the most, at least on paper, I think that's why a lot of people are picking the Capitals to even win the Metropolitan in, what, 9 months or whatever. But it is crazy. This is a scary offense. There is really so much talent on this team. There's going to be down games, like you said, but, man, if these guys can click correctly, of course there's going to be a little bit of a struggle when Backstrom does come back, since Oshie and Backstrom really didn't get a lot of time together. But, man, this is definitely going to be a scary team to see if you're other teams' fans. Let's put it that way. All right, so real quick, let's go to defense. I want to ask you about Orlov. Orlov is on this team. He is number nine now, but he also
That threw me off.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, who's number? Oh, it's Orlov.
Yeah, he couldn't have nine when what was his name? The second line center we got who went crazy in
Ribeiro.
Yes, Ribeiro, ribs.
How dare he wear Dinus Zubrus's old number?
Right. So Orlov had to go with 81, but Orlov has been out of competitive games of hockey.
It's been a while.
Over 500 days. So are we going to – I mean, he's been in good shape. He's done the preseason games. They're not the same as the regular season. But are we going to see some rink rust from Dmitry Orlov?
I think some of it definitely was – he got rid of some of it, I think, in the preseason. But there's certainly opportunities in a regular season game where the – the game is amped up so much and it means so much more that he's going to make mistakes here and there, but you should expect that from a guy who hasn't played in a long time. It's sort of like a rookie coming in and playing his first few games. There's going to be some butterflies and some nerves. There's going to be some mistakes that he's going to make, and hopefully they don't cost his team too much. I don't think it's going to be enough that the team is going to suffer completely, but there's going to be, you know, the occasional error here and there. But I think he brings a lot to the team. I think it's going to be a very solid third pairing between him and Schmidt and or Taylor Chorney. And, you know, I'm confident in the defense. It'll be a little interesting if Orpik can't play the first game or two, but if he can play, I think the defense is going to be just fine. You're going to have Carlson back with Orpik, Alsner's back with Niskanen, and then looks like Orlov and Schmidt with Chorney as the seventh defenseman. I think the defense is, you know, they're fine. I think the third pairing is the one to worry about. It'll be the one to watch to see if they make any mistakes, but if they play solidly, then the defense should be fine for the most part.
So let's talk a little bit about Nate Schmidt. This is the first time that he's really going to be a full-on capital this year. He went down to Hershey and spent a lot of the time last year. Can Nate Schmidt handle the weight of an NHL defenseman job?
No, I'm just kidding. I just want to say it to be annoying. No, I think it'll be fine. I think we saw a lot from him last season. I think he played well. I see no reason why he could not play as the sixth defenseman for this team. I think if he just plays within himself and doesn't try and do too much, he plays the game the way he's been asked to do and the way that he can, then he'll be fine. I'm not very worried about him, and if he makes a lot of mistakes, the Capitals will have an opportunity. They certainly have a general manager now that's willing to go out and make changes if need be to make this team better.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of one of those changes, of course, Braden Holtby, not changing anything there. He's our number one goaltender. He's our number one guy.
He has a new mask or something, I think, going on.
He gets a new mask all the time. And you know what? Let's talk about goalie masks with the Capitals real quick. I liked back in the day, you know, when Holtby came in, he did the crazy mask when he was with a bear. He had a bear riding a roller coaster, and then he had one of a crazy looking bird in a bird cage when he was under Adam Oates. I liked the creativity he had there, but it seems as if, like, Capital goalies, I mean, it's always the same thing. It's always Eagles, Monuments, Red, White, and Blue, and then the Weagle head. Like, I miss some of the creativity they have sometimes with these. Like, I liked it when crazy Brizgalov went up with the Flyers and he had Yoda and Darth Vader on him. That was cool.
He's had definitely some interesting ones in the past. As long as he drops the puck, I don't care if there's nothing on the mask or if there's a giant...
Yeah, who was that, Halak, when he was with the Capitals? He just had a white mask, which I actually was like, all right, that's kind of cool.
They just got to throw off some teams. They're like, where's his head? It looks like, you know, throw him off. But a lot of times you have guys that have the white pad, so it seems like they're looking at the net when they take a glance. So it's interesting to see. I think it's a mask. Who cares? As long as it looks cool, I don't care.
Right.
Or it doesn't look cool, I don't care, as long as he stops the puck.
All right, so let's talk about the backup. Grubauer, we all assumed this was going to happen, but he is now the backup. Justin Peters had to go through waivers, and now he is a Hershey Bear. A lot of people were saying over the weekend, after the last preseason game, how Justin Peters has put in a lot of hard work, that he definitely has looked out of the best, besides Holtby, he's looked at as one of the best potential backup goaltenders for this team, yet he's still going down. I have to assume it's due to the fact that Trotz doesn't really trust him to be a backup, because that's why we saw Grubauer come up in the playoffs. That's why we saw him come up, you know, unless it was, you know, last minute thing where Grubauer couldn't make it. I always feel as if it was going to be Holtby and Grubauer in Trotz's eyes. But like a lot of people were saying, Peters did look really good in this preseason. Are you surprised at all that Grubauer's the backup? I mean, I feel as if we saw it coming.
Yeah, I think we definitely saw it coming. We talked last year about how they did not seem to have any faith in Justin Peters, and the fact that they brought up Grubauer to play in the playoffs, considering Peters is already on the roster, I think was sort of a sign that they wanted Grubauer to keep playing at that time, but they didn't have faith in Peters to actually play him when they needed him. And so I was not surprised at all to see him sent down. I think they have confidence in Grubauer, which gives Holtby an opportunity to not have to play quite as many games as he did last season, which means he can get a little bit more of a rest. So when they come to the playoffs, provided they make the playoffs, which we fully hope and expect them to do, that he'll have, it wasn't that he had any problems with being rested last time, but that he will have, you know, as much energy as he needs to be able to take this team on hopefully a long playoff run.
All right, absolutely. Sorry, I just got a Twitter, some Caps outsider.
Uh-oh, what do they do?
I asked them what happened. The Stingrays put out their roster, and no Garrett Har was on there. So I was asking the Caps outsiders, any idea where they're at? And I think he's asking somebody else now.
Google him.
Yeah. All right. So let's just go over. I want to ask you like some lightning fast questions here.
I got to stretch out.
You're gonna stretch. All right. Get limber.
Yeah, worked. Oh, that one kind of hurt.
All right. So these are either quotes.
This bit went too far.
These are our potential like rumors or myths or other opinions that we've heard in this preseason about the Capitals coming up to the regular season. So you just tell me what you think of these things. We talked about them in other podcasts, but let's just go over some of the stuff. So you ready? You ready for this?
Yeah, I might as well.
All right. With the NHL going to 3-on-3 for overtime, does that make TJ Oshie's addition to this team not as big of an impact because a lot of games now will not go to the shootout? What's your opinion on that?
I think if you're bringing in a guy solely for his shootout skills, then you are bringing him in for the wrong reasons. Yes, it's nice to have a guy that has a ridiculous move in the shootout, but I don't think that should be any reason whatsoever you bring him in. I think Oshie's biggest contribution to this team is that he's going to take the focus solely off of Ovechkin on that first line, and that teams are going to have to pay attention to him as well, which frees up the ice for everybody else.
All right, sounds good.
Yes, having him there for the shootout is great, but he's only one guy in what has to be potentially at least, you know, two or three guys that score unless your goaltender plays great. So I think the fact that he's great in the shootout is fantastic, but is not a big – I don't think having less opportunities for the shootout, which is a good thing, by the way, because the shootout's stupid. Having less shootouts is better in the NHL.
Will we see a more mature on the ice Tom Wilson? And with his move to the third line, are we going to see him pick up some of the slack that Joe Ward left on this team?
Do you mean more mature in the fact that he won't be punching everybody that looks at him the wrong way?
Making it more mature choices, I guess, on the ice. Because I don't want that dude to be mature in any way off the ice because him and Lotta are friggin' hilarious. I'm just talking about on the ice.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think we saw in the preseason, I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked him to fight, and he was like, no, thanks, I'm good. Yeah, no interest in doing it. I think you want to see from him. If one of one of the other team goes after and, like, illegally pummels someone on his line or a teammate, I fully expect Wilson to walk up, tap him on the shoulder, and say, excuse me, sir, that was not nice. But if it's something along the lines of him just going after guys, like, sort of, not going after, but, like, dropping the gloves every other game like it seemed like last season, then that's a problem. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to be more mature. I think he's trying to focus on his offense a little more. And hopefully he's able to do that.
Will we see Nick Backstrom back at game 5?
Of the regular season or first round against some team in the New York area?
No. I'm going to say the game 5 of this month.
Yes.
We're going to see him?
I mean, you might see him in the press box, so we're going to see him.
You jerk. Technicality.
Yes, I think we're going to see him playing for the Capitals by game 5.
All right. So
he's been practicing in a non-contact jersey, so he's a little closer.
All right. I already asked you my Orlov and Schmidt and Grubauer stuff, so I think that's it.
Playoff stuff.
I think that's it for the lightning round. How about the last one? Will the Capitals, even though this is October, will the Capitals will they make it to the Eastern Conference Final this year?
These questions are so difficult because so many different things can happen.
I know, yeah. So maybe
you have injuries, you have guys that may not, like Williams or Oshie may not click, though it seems like these guys are already doing this, so that's not a little problem. I mean, my guess, they have just as good, if not a better shot than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference. But it's going to come down to injuries, is going to come down to guys gelling. I think the third and fourth line are certain have question marks on them right now. But if things play out at least, you know, decently, then yes, this team is going to be very good. I certainly think they're a better team than last season. They're certainly a more well-rounded team than they were last season. Their depth on defense is a little suspect looking at it. So hopefully if they don't have too many injuries there, knocking on wood, then they should be okay. But, I think they could certainly make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're going to have to play know, as well as anybody else, if not better, to get there.
All right, so last one here. Potentially just talking about the playoffs or just throughout this year, who in the NHL do you think is going to give the Capitals the biggest problem? Who is going to be their toughest opponent? Let's stick to the East. Let's just go with the East. Who is going to be their biggest challenge to get over in the Eastern Conference? Because let me just I'll say my pick. I'm hearing a ton of chatter about Columbus. The Blue Jackets are making just so many moves, and everyone's saying that it's going to be like the Capitals and the Blue Jackets in the Eastern Conference Final. I'm a little surprised with that, given the additions that the Penguins have made, but the Blue Jackets are making some noise.
I certainly could see that. I could definitely see the Blue Jackets being a very solid team. I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to give them the most trouble. My guess is you're going to see someone like Henrik Lundqvist is going to be one that gives them the biggest problem. The Islanders are going to be very good again, and I think the Penguins are going to be very good. They also have a ton of offense, or at least on their top two lines, that they bring every night. And so I would say between those three teams, those are the other real top teams that the Capitals are going to be facing a lot, especially because they're in their division, that they'll be having trouble with. Tampa Bay is going to be very good. Montreal looks like they'll be able to see which version of Alex Semin we see. And Detroit is Detroit. It's going to be interesting to see Mike Green in another jersey, I can tell you that much.
That's definitely going to be a little weird. So
I think the goaltenders, teams like New York has a very good defense. I'd say the Rangers are still probably one of the top teams in the East.
Well, yeah, I mean, to make it as far as they did last year, you just have to assume that they'll be just as good this year.
They'll be halfway decent.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, did you get to see any of the last two, it was Friday, wasn't it? It was Friday's preseason game?
I have seen one preseason game.
The Capitals.
I'm a busy man.
Yeah,
of course. Stuff to do.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Everybody believes you. The Monumental Network and Verizon Center, they brought out this new Skycam.
And is it like the stupid Skycam from the Winter Classic ones?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I get rid of it? No. I'm already going to answer your question. No.
I saw it. I saw the use of it terrible. In the beginning of the game before any action actually started. And I thought it was like a GoPro connected to like that blimp that they sometimes have around in the stands, you know, that kind of floats around in between periods.
Oh, that would have been interesting. During the game, though.
No. Yeah, because apparently it ticked off everybody in the upper deck because they... The what?
It was in the way.
Yeah, because people were like, we can't see what's going on here because the stupid camera's doing whatever.
Move the camera! Yeah, like, it's already a bad look from when you have more room to do it in an outdoor game. Why would they have thought it was a good idea in an enclosed space? I don't know.
Apparently they've spent a million or more dollars on this. They used it in one preseason game.
Money well spent, guys. Money well spent.
And now it's pretty much gone already. That's what they're kind of saying here. I thought it was cool at the beginning of the game where there are no players on the ice to just kind of like circle around the rink. It's a nice like a B-roll shot of like just an empty rink. That was cool. But like with the advancement in drones and everything, you think, I mean, not during a game because anything could happen with a drone during the game, but like in between periods or whatever, can't you just have like a camera operator or a pilot or whatever go out in between periods and just kind of like get some shots around the rink? I mean, I don't know. I feel as if this whole Skycam thing wasn't even needed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems very silly. You have something, like you were saying, a GoPro on that blimp would be kind of cool to use, like you said, for B-roll and stuff like that. But during the game, blocking the view of the ice from the fans, and I mean, I give them credit for trying, but you tried, it failed. Move on to your next gimmick.
This reminds me of a couple years ago where they tried using the white netting behind the goals.
Oops.
And
yeah.
They were very excited about it, and it lasted one preseason game.
Yeah, that was... That also was not a good idea. So stop what you're doing. Someone needs to go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, tried these, sucked. Let's start thinking outside the box here with some different ideas. All right. Or maybe go back into the box because their outside the box ideas certainly weren't working.
Maybe.
But maybe that's
hockey fans in my estimation, they like to keep things traditional. It's all about like the originality of hockey.
So much it's just in the freaking way.
Right. Well,
like, both things are obstructing their view of the ice. That's a problem.
So
especially when tickets have gotten so freaking expensive.
So Ted, listen, we figured out after we used that Skycam, it turns out people want to see the
people
game.
People don't like looking at electronics during... Well, some people like being on their phones. But people don't like looking at a flying camera.
The camera, it has to be pointed at that specific person for them to enjoy it. It's like all those girls at that baseball game where every single girl was taking a selfie of the her with a churro or a hot dog or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, so... All right, so did you hear there's also a new addition or new rebranding of some Caps fans out there?
I'm already frightened and don't know what you're talking about.
So, of course, we had the Knoble Knights. We had the
Brow. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
We had the Brow Rangers, and now they are TJ, Yoshi, and Mario.
I like that one. I like Super Mario. It's pretty clever. A little silly.
So now,
here's my concern, though.
Sure.
So, what was their incarnation before this one?
The Brow Rangers?
No, before that.
The Knoble Knights.
Yeah, so they hire him, and then he left. Then they were Brower, then he left. Now they're with TJ Oshie.
So are you thinking
I don't want
Oshie's going
to
leave?
I don't want him to go anywhere. Please don't be a jinx. That's my request.
I'm looking at these guys, and, you know, it's...
And wondering, are they actually adults?
It's hilarious that they're doing this, and I mean, I give them all the credit in the world if Yoshi's going to dress like that to all the games that he's going to and wears that head throughout the game. But, man, talk about dedication of this team. Those guys deserve a little bit of credit there. They're definitely dedicated. They don't give up, which... TJ Yoshi. I guess that's pretty cool. I like that.
I like the idea. Very silly.
Yeah.
Don't be a jinx.
Yeah, don't be a jinx. That's very true. All right, so what else should we cover in Caps world?
Oh, let's see. The Caps signed center Tim McCauley to a 3-year entry-level deal. He played last season in the WHL with the Brandon Wheat Kings, where he will play this upcoming season. McCauley went undrafted, so they may have found themselves... A diamond in the rough? No, I don't know if I go that far. This is a guy, you probably hear his name, and then you won't hear about him for another 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, until he ends up in Hershey. Former Capital Matt Bradley, remember him?
He's one of my favorites.
He is great. He was hired as a scout for the team. He joins former Capital Brian Sutherby, if you remember him, as another as a former Capital who are now scouts within the organization.
Nice.
Sutherby was an interesting one. He was a guy that everyone was talking about when he was one of the young players that was going to be like future captain of the team. And I think, if I remember this correctly, he was the MVP of the Young Stars game at one of the All-Star games.
Really?
I don't remember where it was. I have to look it up. And clearly I did not before recording. But he was the MVP of the Young Stars game. He got a couple goals maybe or something like that. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Let's see, the Caps will wear their third jersey at 15 home games this season. The dates start sometime in December, and we'll go through the end of the regular season. You know, I'm still really surprised they didn't keep their vintage whites. They're going with the third jersey being the vintage red.
Right.
You could have had, like, 4 jerseys go with the new red and white and then the old red and white.
I figure, why don't you just make those whites your away jerseys?
That's also would be great.
Right, like, get rid of the no one likes those white away jerseys that we have right now. Everybody loves the rock the red. Everyone loves the Caps logo the way it is. Like, but come on, those specialty white jerseys that they had were awesome. Those original Winter Classic ones and the original ones from back in the day, great. Just make those the away. That would have made all of this much easier.
I agree. I thought they were great, and I'm very disappointed they're gone. Then again, they may bring them back.
But, you know, it really doesn't matter because, like, what, in a year, Adidas gets to make the jerseys and you know they're going to make changes. You know what's happening.
For some of them, I'm sure they're going to try. But I think for a lot of the classic teams, like the Red Wings, the Blackhawks, they're not going to be able to make any change. Nothing major.
Well, like, the Canadiens have never changed their logo.
Yeah, the
once,
Canadiens,
right?
The Maple Leafs, I don't imagine they'll make any major changes. Capitals, I'm sure you could see some changes. I don't think any of them are going to be drastic unless they are already planning to sort of like, let's change it up. But I imagine it won't be too crazy.
As long as they don't put any of that fake plastic crap that are on all the NFL jerseys now, and the fake stitching that was on the USA hockey jerseys from the Olympics. Get rid of that crap. I hated that.
Wait. What? Oh, what are you talking about, the NFL jerseys? Oh, like up around the collar?
Yeah, up around the collar. That plastic, it looks like duct tape.
Well, Adidas loves to throw those three stripes anywhere and everywhere they can. I mean, their deal with MLS, every team has the three stripes on the shoulders. Whatever.
They must have loved the Winter Classic jerseys from this past year.
I know, right? But I don't imagine they're going to be able to get away with that with a lot of the NHL teams. So it'll be interesting to see what Adidas does in terms of trying to brand their name everywhere.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I like the new red ones. I like this white spot there. They're gone, apparently. Let's see. We talked about how the Caps are getting a lot of credit from around the writer circuit. Mentioned before that four NHL.com writers are the Caps winning the Metro. The name is still stupid. Holtby has a few votes for the Vezina. One dude put the not the heart. I'm totally blanking on what it's called. The one guy who scores the most, the Rocket Richard, going to Phil Kessel. Okay. You got jokes, buddy. You got
okay.
jokes.
Okay.
Yeah. Got jokes. It's a funny guy. I don't think so. I saw it was possible he's playing with Crosby, but no.
He'll get he'll definitely get an up. And assist. And
oh, yeah.
Goals.
I mean, his stats are definitely going to go up, whether it's assists or goals, but I think Ovechkin is still going to blow him out of the water. That would be my guess, especially since he's going to have more ice with TJ Oshie on the roster. Mm-hmm. Another interesting little tidbit is James Myrtle, a hockey writer for the Globe and Mail, noted that the Caps have the sixth youngest team in the NHL with an average age of 26.9.
I'm old.
I know, right? I got to think. That's actually pretty interesting considering they have the sixth youngest team, yet a lot of these guys have been on the team for a while.
Yeah, for a very long time.
Interesting. Now, the age gap's not that drastic in terms of, like, the average age for all of these NHL teams, but I think they're sixth youngest. The oldest team, ironically enough, the Florida Panthers.
Wow.
28.6. You got a team in Florida having the oldest team.
I guess that makes sense because that's where you go to retire, but...
That certainly did for Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, I mean, I hear he's bringing back the mullet. He's excited about that mullet coming back.
Oh, he's an idiot. Did you also hear about the other thing with him?
What's that?
It's going a little borderline inappropriate. Something with, like, he slept with some other Czech player's girlfriend. And so she threatened to expose him and, like, try to blackmail him. And he was like, go ahead, expose me. I don't care.
I saw that. It was an
18-year-old. So she put it out there in the world, and like no one gave a crap, and now she's in trouble.
Yeah, I saw that. It's an 18-year-old model who dates somebody over in Europe, and she's like, hey, I'm going to put this out there if you don't give me this amount of money. And he was like, go ahead. And it comes out, and they're like, yeah, Jagr, way to go, man.
Everyone's giving him credit.
Yeah. Look at you, dude. You still got it.
Oh, he's such an idiot. But that was pretty funny where he was like, yeah, I don't care. Go ahead. And she did it, and he still didn't get in trouble. I could not care less. Apparently he's single, so he doesn't give a, you know what.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, it's pretty entertaining. And I thought it was pretty funny that the Florida Panthers of all teams have the oldest roster. It's only 28.6, so it's not like everybody's like super old. But you got to imagine, if they trade away Chimera, the Caps may be the youngest team now.
That's true.
He is. Very old. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it seems to be that's all of the Caps news. Ready. Season starts on Saturday.
Woo!
Against the Devils.
Capitals
don't have their promotional schedule out. What's up with that?
Are we getting any promotions this year? I mean, last year you at least got a magnet.
It just went back to the Caps. That's probably what it's going to be. Here's a schedule magnet, guys. Thanks for coming. Screw you. Rock the red carpet. Three Caps players as they arrive for the home opener on Saturday, October 10th. If you get there at 3, you click the link and it goes to not found. Way to go, guys. Way to go.
So let's talk about Barry Trotz's slogan he's got here.
I haven't seen his slogan.
His slogan this year is stick to the script.
Don't lose.
You know that he was a big guy when he came in with
that one, you all know.
With you remember in developmental camp and everything, it was the developmental camp T-shirts we saw last year, but then it had writing on the back. And it was like, you know, determination or whatever. It was like he's very much into like mottos and just, you know, everybody having like a team mentality and everything. And yeah. It took the team a little bit to kind of buy into that that line of thinking. But we saw what happened last year. Everybody bought in and it kind of made sense. So he's doing it again. And it's called Stick to the Script. You know, keep it simple. And what they're doing is they started off camp with a 4-minute video talking about why it's important to stick to the script. That video narrated by the one and only Mike Knuble.
Ooh.
And they're going to show that 4-minute video before the game at Verizon Center on Saturday. So I'm very jealous that I have to work and can't go because I really want to see this video because they said, what a great idea putting Mike Knuble on that, who has such a good relationship with so many guys in that locker room.
That's true. Now that's pretty cool. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that pop up on the internet at some point in time, whether it's on Monumental Network, the Caps website, or YouTube. That'll be an interesting thing to watch. But I think I like that. I think that it's good that you have Knuble sort of doing a thing for the team and having him tell the guys to stick to the script or whatever the thing. No, I like that. I think that's good. I think it's, you know, stick to what you're doing and what the plan is, and you'll be okay. I mean, I certainly believe that the players trust in this coaching staff, and the coaching staff showed that they can bring this team back to where they should be by putting them back into the playoffs last season, and I got faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
don't have much else of a choice. Do ya?
I feel very good about this team. Really, without
some confidence.
With, I mean, seeing them in the preseason's one thing. You know, it's not against the greatest people, the greatest hockey players. But man, on paper, this team is gonna. It looks like they're gonna wreak some havoc on the NHL.
Good,
and I'm super excited. I feel as if, you know, on the Russian Machine podcast, they said that they haven't felt this good about it.
The other people.
Well, you know, they're both free. So they brought up that this has been, you know, the most exciting team to be excited for, I guess, since like the 09-10 09-10 season, which we know what ended. It ended in the first round getting beat out by Halak and the Canadiens. But
of course.
That's what I'm feeling. I feel as if there's going to be a lot of excitement around this team.
I think this is the most well-rounded team that they've had.
Yeah, as long
not
as
so
I've been watching, absolutely.
Like, not like the best offense or anything like that, but I think this is the most well-rounded group that they have had. Yeah, it could be a little better, but I think this is the most well-rounded group in terms of the players, both the forwards and the defense, the goaltending, and in terms of the coaching staff. And the front office, it seems like this is the most well-rounded group of guys that are ready to win and to do what is necessary to do so. You have a general manager that's willing to make moves and make bold moves, like bringing in TJ Oshie, that I don't think we would have seen in the past. And these are moves that he believes and looks like are geared towards pushing this team to that next level and potentially risking the future to some extent. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be going out and trading Kuznetsov or Burakovsky, but he's willing to move draft picks. He's willing to move prospects to be able to come to bring in guys that can push the team forward and move in veteran players, the veteran solid players like a Troy Brouwer that can help this team get better and push them to where they need to be. And you see the coaching staff that knows what they're doing. It's nice to see. We haven't seen that in a while since what, Ron Wilson? To see a coaching staff that has NHL experience, NHL coaching experience. Yes, Boudreaux worked for a decent amount of time, and I liked what he brought for the most part, but that sort of flamed out after a while. But we have a coaching staff that the players believe in and that the fans can believe, know what they're doing each and every game. And we have players now that have been through the system for a year. They understand what they're supposed to be doing, and you've got veteran players mixed in with some young guys, some promising young guys in Kuznetsov and Burakovsky that have shown a lot of talent. And I think this is definitely the most exciting and well-rounded team that we have seen in DC hockey for, I don't even know how long, quite some time.
It's been a little while. Yeah, definitely. The only question marks I really have, and they're not huge question marks, you know, I have 100% confidence that this team can do a really good job this year. I do have a question mark about whether or not Tom Wilson really can take that next step. He's been in this season, or he's been a part of the NHL for 3 years now. So I want to see more from him. So hopefully, given that extra time and being told you're more than just a goon, we'll be able to see more of that. Because I mean, there was talk of him being, you know, the guy, the captain of this team. You know, if Ovechkin ever left or whatever, he was gonna that was what the talk was when he was drafted. So I want to see him do a little bit more. And then the other question mark I have is that pairing of Orlov and Schmidt, and whether or not they can really handle everything that's going to be thrown at them, because Orlov's missed so much time, and Schmidt doesn't have that much experience. But the only way that
the only good experience is to play.
Right, exactly. That's the only thing that these guys got to do. And by giving them a shot, which is what they earned by working hard, they're all going to get a shot to prove themselves. And that's what I want to see. Those are the only three guys I really have a question about. But they gotta prove it, and they're getting the shot to do it. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yes, hockey. Yeah.
Anything else we should cover before we wrap this bad boy up?
Nope. Now we'll get back into the minor leagues and the NHL next week once things are fully underway. The NHL is back. They play the first games tonight. We already had our first coach's challenge, and they got it correctly. And if you didn't throw a flag on the ice for the challenge, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I think they should just throw like a punch at the ref. Just allow them to just hit the ref in the
head.
That
might be a little much.
I'm sure that's not allowed, but
just a little inappropriate. I think it sends the wrong message. I think that's the problem. No, I thought it'd be funny to throw a flag or something, just because like in football, you see them kind of toss it out, or sometimes you have coaches that would throw it really far. Just because like if a coach threw it correctly, you've got the thing to slide right across the ice.
That's true.
You can imagine the jokes would be kind of silly, and like a player starts to like kind of skate around with it or something. I just think it would be funny.
All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with us, let us know where you think the Capitals are going to land in the Metropolitan Division by the end of this year. We got plenty of time to figure that all out. But if you want to tell us what you think before this season starts, you can tweet to Coach Dan or I. I'm available on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also sometimes, occasionally, if I ever have an opportunity to write another article again, at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Brandon, do you have any bobbleheads?
There's no bobblehead night even promoted on the
Capitals
site.
There's no promotional nights yet, apparently.
I'm so sad.
So I'm sure there will be, one thing at a time. Have you looked on eBay recently to see if any of those creepy looking slapshot ones are available?
I have not, but I did see.
I want the Halloween one from last year. They had a Halloween one from last year, right?
Yeah, they did. I would like that one as well. I did see that during the preseason games, they were having a Capitals clearance sale, which I'm ticked off. They didn't mention that until the day of.
Cause I didn't have any bobbleheads. Though.
I would have gone down there because they could have had bobbleheads on sale since there was a limited run and they were only available for a year. But whatever.
Whatever. I don't know if they would have. But we shall see.
Yeah.
They may become available.
We'll see.
Sometime in the future. I don't know, but Brandon. Talk about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash.
Pause spot.
You did pause. It was an awkward.
I was trying pause. To throw you off. And it didn't work because I always do the dramatic pause before. I wanted to see if I could throw you off, and you totally like just played along. I went for it, and it didn't work at all.
I'm a professional man. You can't throw
Dude,
me
that
off.
That was good. Like. You totally ignored me screwing around. I mean, all right, next week I have to think of a new one.
Next week, man, I got to think of a new farm name for you. So I got to.
That was last season. Let's move on to something. This is professional, damn it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode of What the Puck or The Call comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can also check out videos and photos there. Go to BrandoCash.com for all the information you're ever going to need about the podcast. Go to facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know, if you're on Facebook at least. And you can check it out over there. We also post up pictures and articles. That's the word.
Autographs.
We can sign something for you if you want.
Yes. That's gonna be with them.
And we're also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. You can check us out there as well. Want to send a shout out, big thank you to Alexandria, not the town The Walking Dead is in right now, but a Twitter user.
The real town in the real world.
Right. I want to send a shout out to Alexandria on Twitter. Thank you very much. She actually suggested that we go on to a Carolina Hurricanes podcast from Section 328. And I have no idea who she is, and it was awesome. She apparently found us on TuneIn and told them that, hey, if you want a Caps podcast to talk to, these are the guys to talk to. So thank you very much, Alexandria.
That was cool.
That was apparently awesome.
Are we going to chat with those dudes?
We're going to chat with them probably in December when the Capitals go to Carolina for the first time. So they want
to. Is that the first time we're playing the Hurricanes?
No, we play the Hurricanes in like a week in D.C.,
I was about to be like, what?
But our first trip to Carolina will be not until December.
Remember that one year it was like the Caps didn't play the Penguins until like February?
Yeah, I remember
that.
It
was like whoever was making the schedule was just not even trying.
No, they didn't care. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, Alexandria, for telling us, for showing us off. You know, that was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So she found us on TuneIn. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. You know what? Actually, let me make sure. Player.fm was down this morning. Let me make sure they're still even.
I still don't know what that is.
They are. Okay, they're back. You can definitely.
Yeah! Welcome back.
You can find us on
that. I don't know.
Player.fm. It's just anywhere. Like, there's so many different podcast apps and websites out there. Those are the ones that I have found. If you listen to us on something else, cool. But all you got to do is tell your friends about us, though. That's the big thing we need you to do. With the cap season starting up, we need you guys to spread the word about the show. There's not a lot of hockey fans I know. But this is always a good time to get them onto the bandwagon and say, look, this is going to be a good year for the Capitals. You should be watching this team. And if you're not good at hockey or understand hockey, these funny guys on this podcast will entertain you and keep you entertained throughout the week that hockey is going on. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So I think that's pretty much it, Coach Dan, for this week. Let's go over the schedule.
Yeah.
We'll go over the schedule.
Right. We've got to talk about some hockey.
That's right.
Not some speculation.
Saturday, October 10th, the Capitals open up the season against the New Jersey Devils. That game is at 7
what
o'clock.
What accent did you just try to do?
I tried to do Jersey, but it didn't really work out.
You sound like you're eating something. You're a Jersey Devil.
I am from Baltimore, and I think I've done a pretty good job of toning down my Baltimorean accent. But I will tell you, we were talking, I forget how this came up. We were talking about favorite Christmas carols with a couple friends of mine, and I said, "Oh, you know what? One of my favorite one is Oh Holy Night," and I was like, "Oh, that Baltimorean came out." I'm sorry.
Oh,
Holy Night.
There it is.
But anyway, so the Capitals. Wait. We'll be hosting the Devils in the season opener. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be shown locally on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Tuesday, October 13th, the Capitals staying at home, welcoming back Joel Ward from San Jose and the Sharks. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. And then we'll be back next Wednesday, and we'll be able to talk about those two games. Pretty cool, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, got two games, nice little warm-up.
Joel Ward, he just can't stay away from D.C.
Joel Ward, guys, I'm back. Him and Shamir, I'm sure, will go out to dinner, have a nice time.
They should. They probably miss each other.
Yeah, they probably do. But yeah, it's a nice little two games before the next time we talk, so it'll be fun to watch the game against the Devils, which I certainly think they can win, and then the game against the Sharks, and you never know when they play a team from the Western Conference.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys for listening to us. We'll be throughout this entire season. We'll be here every single week, majority of the time, unless it's around the holidays. But suppose...
And screw you guys.
That's our time, okay?
Yeah, leave us alone.
But anyway, that's it for the show this week. The Capitals are finally back. It is the regular season. I can't wait to watch some puck on my TV. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at Baltimore Sports Report.